Now let's continue on in the book of Ecclesiastes, and let's learn the lessons here, brethren. Not only is it for the things that we're going to teach people in the millennium, but these are lessons for us. Because Jesus said, the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And so this applies to us. Now, we have been living in an age where we have everything, modern conveniences, light switches, cars, electricity, refrigerators, freezers, food brought from the whole world into our supermarkets. We have so many things available to us. Television, internet, computers, cell phones, whatever. Great and fantastic things that we have been given. And yet, because it has been with the nation, not procured with the blessing of God, but procured with the devices of men and the debt and the credit things that men have done. And we are on the verge of losing it all. And so we need to understand the most important thing in our lives, individually and all of us combined together, is our relationship with God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, keeping His commandments, learning and growing and overcoming. And out of this book of Ecclesiastes, we can learn a lot of things. And so let's continue on. Let's come to chapter 9. And let's see what Solomon was doing. We pick up hints of how he was leaving God, but come back a little bit. Ready to leave God, but come back a little bit. And then we will see what happened, because his relationship with God was not strong. It could have been. It could have been one of the strongest in the history of Israel and Judah. But it ended up not the way he wanted. He was the victim of his own words, the victim of his own judgments that he'd learned from God. Chapter 9, for all this I took to heart, even to make all this clear, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knows either love or hatred by all that is before them, by whatever is before them. No. All things come alike to all. There is one event that happens to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices, to him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who swears is he who fears an oath. Now, life happens to all. He says in another place, there's time and chance that happens to all. And so this is why we can understand why supposedly bad things happen to supposedly good people. But all of this is so that we can learn the wisdom of God. So he says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event that happens to all. Yea, also the hearts of son of men are full of evil. Yes, he got that right, just as Jesus said. From out of the heart, from within, come evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications. Yes. Full of evil and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Now, what happens when you're dead? For who among the living, who is among the living, there is hope. But for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything, nor do they have any more reward, for their memory is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is long ago perished, nor do they ever longer have a portion forever in that which is done under the sun. And the book of Hebrews tells us it is given to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So Solomon covered a lot of things, went through a lot of things. Here's another thing that he learned. Very important for us to understand, especially as we look out and see people in the world. Verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor plan, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. Do it with all your might. Do it right. Do it good. Make it the best that you can. And never be satisfied with whatever level you're able to achieve. And we can add that to it, see. Continuously go forward. Now, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. And when that happens, what do? We have to make the best of it that we can. Now, we're also going to teach this to people in the millennium. And it's going to be interesting to see at that time how things come about. Now, we're going to have spiritual minds, immortal bodies, so we're going to have a lot of discernment. And we're going to be able to help answer their prayers to God even while they're praying. So that's going to be quite a thing, isn't it? Now, let's continue on here. Come down here to verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Now, that's quite a statement. One sinner destroys much good. Who is the chief sinner in the universe? Satan, the devil. Did he destroy much good? Yes, he did. Is God going to get rid of him? Yes, he is. And that's why during the millennium, he's not going to be around. But everyone is going to have to learn the lessons of life. And they will have more facts, more advantage, more understanding than anything we can imagine today. Now, this is why those who are called now and have the Spirit of God now and are growing and changing and overcoming, that we will belong to the superior resurrection, the first resurrection. So always keep that in mind. Now, let's come over here to chapter 11. Okay? Chapter 11. Let's come here to verse 9. And this is also for the youth. Would that they would listen. Would that they would heed. But you see, this whole thing of experimentation in life to try and find out about things can lead to a disaster. But let's also understand, right here in verse 9, Solomon says this, "Rejoice in your youth, O young man, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove vexation from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, for youth and vigor are vanity." And the older you get, the more you understand. Too soon old? Too late, smart. That's one way of putting it. So then he says this, because life is designed to get old and wear out, come to an end. So here's some good advice that Solomon gave. Had he remembered that in his old age, I wonder how different things would have really been. Verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, and the days of old age draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Because when you get old, you have your aches, you have your pains, you have your weakness, you know. Everything wears out, and then we finally give up the ghost. So he says, before that time, when the sun or the light or the moon or the stars are darkened, that means your vision fails. Well, today we have glasses, but that doesn't take away failing vision. It's just an aid to overcome it temporarily. Or the clouds return after rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men are stooped over, that is when you get old and you get stooped over, when everything is wearing out and you're headed for the time of your last breath. So Solomon is saying, do what you need to do and do it right, because God is going to call you into judgment before you get old and everything falls apart. And it does. And the strong men are stooped over, now weak and old. And the grinders cease because they are few. Lose your teeth. Yes, we have false teeth today. And the eyes of those who look out the window grow dim. And the doors will be shut in the streets. Not going to be going out. When the sound of the grinding is low, you shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. When all they are afraid of heights and terrors along the way, that's what happens. The older you get, you are afraid of heights and terrors and things like that. And the almond tree shall blossom, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, desire of physical love, because man goes to his long home, means he dies, and the mourners go about the streets. So he says, before all these things come upon you, think about it while you're young and change your life now. Now notice, he continues, before the silver cord is broken, that is death, or the golden bowl is broken, again death, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, and dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Well, think about your life, and a lot of us, when we were younger, we never thought we would be old. Now here we are old, and getting older. And everyone who was young out there, and all you children, look at all of the old people, and you never think in your own mind, one of these days I'm going to be like them. And you never think in your mind, one day all of these old people were little infants, and then children, and then youth, and then teenagers, and young adults. And my, the time flies. And the next thing you know, you're 40 years old or more, and then 50, and then 60, and then 70. So God doesn't want us to waste our life in vanity and striving after wind. So Solomon said, set your life right, set your course right before you get old, because it is going to come. So he concludes by saying, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. So he wanted to find out all the things that he could find out by experimentation, and he came to the whole conclusion of the matter. You can learn, you can study, you can have books, you can do this, you can do that, you can do the other thing, but in the final analysis, this is the beginning of what you need to do, and you need to follow through with it spiritually with the New Testament. So he says, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole man. For God shall bring every work into judgment concerning every secret thing, whether good or whether it is evil. Now let's see that Solomon never followed his own advice. Why didn't he do it? What was the thing that was missing? Yes, he mentions God. True. Yes, he knows things about God. True. But what was it that he was missing? Now, let's come back here to Deuteronomy 17. Let's see what it was that he was missing. Let's see the one command that God gave to the kings. Okay? And what was it that he said that they should do so they would be faithful and not exalt themselves over the people that they're serving? Now, let's come here to verse 14, Deuteronomy 17. This is quite a passage here. And when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, and shall possess it and live in it, and shall say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, which they did. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God shall choose, not one of your own choosing. You shall set a king over you from among your brethren. You shall not set a stranger over you who is not your brother. Now then, he gave instructions on how the king needed to guide his life and watch the parameters of what was given to him to do. Now, God gave Solomon wisdom and riches and honor more than any king, because he started out right and he asked for judgment and understanding. But this, it's not recorded that he did. Verse 16. Only he shall not multiply horses to himself, which he did, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, which he did, and even married the daughter of Pharaoh. So as to multiply horses, because the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Nor shall he multiply wives to himself, for this reason, so that his heart does not turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold to himself. See, even though he had all of these things, he should have understood that if he would have done what God says to do here, these things would not have taken place. And then he would have loved God in return for the love that God had for him. And he would have feared God and followed him instead of trying to find the way of life without God, even though he mentioned him in passing as he went through his experimentation. So here's what God commanded him to do. Now, this is what all of us need to do in preparation of being kings and priests. And this is what every minister needs to do as he is serving and feeding the flock of God, as well as read and study and know 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and the general epistles, especially what Peter said to the elders. Verse 18, and it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from that which is in the custody of the priest, the Levites. He was to go to the temple, and there they would have a room where the king could come and sit and make himself a handwritten copy of the law of God, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Why? Verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now notice something there. All the days of his life. And why must you do it all the days of your life? Now, let's ask a question. How many times have you heard us say, prayer and study, prayer and study, prayer and study and fasting, prayer and study, prayer and study, prayer and study and fasting? You've heard it. Those are the keys to the relationship, right? Yes. But notice why he is to read it all the days of his life. Because there's something that has to happen on a continuous basis. It's not just learned once and you know it and it's over with. so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, day by day as he would read, week by week, month by month, year by year. Now, how many of the kings of Judah and Israel did this? Virtually nada, none. All right? That he may learn to fear his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Now, Solomon was on the verge of really learning the purpose of God. But when he set out to do it on his own, forgetting that everything that he is, everything that he was, everything that he was to be, was all dependent upon God. Yes, he had to put forth the effort, that is true. But to do things by just giving God lip service didn't work. See, God wants you to love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your being. And this is what we need to learn. This, coupled with prayer and study, is the glue that holds our relationship together with God, because that's his spirit. See? All right. Now notice what else it would do. Verse 20. So that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren. He stays humble. Because humility is not something you say, well, I'm going to be humble. No. Humility is a living part of your being when you understand God and his love and understand the brethren and understand what they do. See, it's part of how you are. It's not something that you put on. It's not something you say, well, when I get around people, I'm humble. I assume a humble position here, you know. No. Humility comes by not exalting yourself. Humility comes by loving your neighbor and loving your brethren, and yea, even loving your enemy as yourself, as Jesus said, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he does not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. That's what Solomon was missing. Now, in order for us not to fall in the same trap as this, we need to follow what it is there. That's why study and prayer, study and prayer, living by every word of God. Now let's come to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, and let's see if I can get this page on stock here. There we go. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. Now, let's see. Even though Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs, composed 1,005 songs, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, was the wisest man who has ever walked the face of the earth, because he didn't follow the instructions of God, he had to take the kingdom from him. And when you read the genealogy in the book of Luke, the son of David, named Nathan, was the one through whom the seed came for Christ, not Solomon. That's how great his sin was. So let's read it, 1 Kings 11 and verse 1. And we will see here, he did everything God said not to do. Now remember, in the book of Ecclesiastes it says, when the sinner turns from his sins, all of his sins which he has done will not be mentioned. But if the righteous turn from his righteousness to sin, all the righteousness that he has done will not be mentioned. So the Bible doesn't tell us the final disposition of Solomon. It doesn't show that he repented. So we're kind of left hanging in the air concerning God's judgment of Solomon. So that's in God's hands. God knows. But notice how he did so many things contrary to what God said to do. And that has to be because he did not fulfill the requirement for the king as we found there in Deuteronomy 17. Verse 1, 1 Kings 11. And King Solomon loved many foreign women, and the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations which God had said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, nor shall they go into you. Surely they will turn away your hearts at your heart after their gods. But Solomon clung to these in love instead of following the word of God, instead of reading and studying the word of God every day so that he would not be lifted up. Now notice how bad it got. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And isn't that what God said, do not do in Deuteronomy 17, because your wives would turn your heart away from God? Now notice how far it went. And it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not go fully after the Lord as his father David. Now, if all of that wasn't bad enough, look at what else he did. Since he was the master temple builder, built the temple of God. Now, let's understand something here very important. Every time a man tries to build a building for God or a temple for God, they get in trouble. We even had one exalted church leader who did that. What happened to him? Same thing that happened to Solomon. Now let's see what else he did. Verse 7. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill which is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And later the children of Israel sacrificed their children to Molech, burned them in the fire. Now think of what happened to the population of the children of Israel when they saw that the king was going against the commandments of God. Well, they fell into sin, and they said, well, if he does it, I can do it. And look what happens. I mean, all you have to do is just look at the governments today, any government in the world, and you can see when they go wrong, the people go wrong. That's what happened here. Now, not only did he do that for the Moabite god and the Ammonite god, notice verse 8, and likewise he did for all his foreign wives and burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Think of that. God, who appeared to him in dreams twice and loved him and blessed him, look at what he did. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, who appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. And he did not keep that which the Lord commanded. Now what happened? Remember, everything concerning our relationship with God is always started out with the two-letter word, if. And the conditions are given to us because God is a God of love, God is a God of truth, God is a God of righteousness, and he cannot lie. So if he gives the promise of blessings, it is always contingent upon that big little word, if. And how many times did Jesus use it? And how many times must we apply it to our life? See? And that being on a daily basis. Now, just exactly as happened to the churches of God, who did not fear the ministers and the members and those people who did not do as God intended them to do. As likewise with all the Protestants and the Catholics, and they have the Bible, they have the Word of God, they didn't have to go out and do the traditions of men, they didn't have to be there to obey what the pastor and the priest said that went against the Word of God. They themselves did not study the Word of God, but the writings of men. They themselves got turned away into sexual sins and abominations, correct? Yes, indeed. Now notice, judgment always comes when there is protracted sin and no repentance. So here's what God said to Solomon. Gave him a message directly from one of his prophets. Since this has been done by you, and since you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. And that servant was Jeroboam. And Jeroboam turned the children of Israel, the 10 tribes that God gave him, turned them over to ancient Egyptian calf worship instead of serving God. But I will not do it in your days for your father, for David your father's sake, but I will tear it out of your hand, the hand of your son. Only I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son David, my servant, for my servant's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And immediately after that warning, God raised up enemies. Now, I want you to stop and think about this relationship to the countries and nations of the world today. Why is there so much trouble and war and killing and death and famine and sex sins, abominations, Satan worship, disasters, earthquakes, floods, droughts? Why? Because the world is forsaking God. And because of this, we need to learn the lesson. And we need to understand that God is giving us a chance to be prepared, educated, trained through His Word, with His Spirit, with His love, with living, so that we can come and be resurrected from the dead, and that we will enter into the kingdom of God as spirit beings, and that He is going to give us rulership over this world. So, brethren, let's see the goodness and the severity of God, and let's learn with a willing mind and a ready heart the things of God. And let us have a tremendous relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and with each other. And let us use this time at the feast to change, to grow, to overcome, and to set the course for the coming year, because the coming year looks like it may be a very difficult year at best. And so always remember this. Always hope in God, because you stand in His grace. Walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love, and prepare for the kingdom of God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.